You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
800-998-1003. That's the Rudiman Can guest and hotline. We're live at Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic. Ralph Marlboro coming up at 1:15. He'll join us at some point this hour, next hour, depending when she drives back from Baton Rouge. Aaron Summer, Saints and Pelicans team reporter, is up at LSU Pro Day. Malik Nabers, did you see it? It's 42 inches high. Vertical jump?
It's about 40 inches higher than I can jump, so I'd say yes.
It would have tied for second best at the combine. He didn't do that at the combine. Jane Daniels officially measured and weighed today. He's 6'3".
Nice.
And I think 214 is what I saw. 199 for Neighbors. I need to go back and look at it. But, again, it's one of those things where I'm interested to see what takes place on it. We've been talking a lot with Ross Jackson last hour as well, with Dennis Allen and with the Saints and what they do at 14. I know Ross gave us some options here. He's like, look, you can go to 45. I talked to several people yesterday, and I think it was John DeShazer was on yesterday as he was flying back from the owners' meetings. He was at the Orlando airport. He goes, pick one is a tackle, pick two is a tackle. Maybe even pick three is a tackle. I need bodies. I mean, you've got to have you got to figure that out one way, shape, or form. And that's kind of how I look at it. If you missed what he had to say, or if you hadn't heard it by now, you just got a bit of the clip. Here it is in its totality in terms of what he thinks of the Ryan Ramczyk situation. Now, remember, back at the Combine, he had said differently about Ryan Ramczyk and kind of where he wanted. And I think that's one of the things that really stood out, I guess, more than anything, is how you feel about the tackle and can you make it and things of that nature. So, I don't know.
Hope they don't take a project, though.
Well, again, let's not take a project. Can we not take a project?
Please.
Let's not take a project. Let's definitely not take a project. Anyway, this is what DA had to say yesterday.
Yeah, I think it still remains to be seen. You know what I mean? I don't feel... at the combine a few weeks ago, I was feeling a lot better about it. And yet, I don't know that I'm seeing as much progress as I was hoping to see, at this point. So I think that still kind of remains to be seen. But here's the cool thing. We've got plenty of time. No different than what we were talking about with Cam and being a veteran player and probably not utilizing necessarily a lot during this OTA and mini camp. I would see the same thing, with Ram too. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see how that all goes as we go through, all the off season and as we get into the training camp aspect.
Is that something that could be a concern maybe going into the season about?
Yeah, I think it could be. But again, we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
Is that, did you just not respond to that surgery as well as you guys had hoped? Or what caused you to change?
Well, I think more of it's just been visiting with him and he just isn't quite where I was probably hoping he'd be. And really, quite frankly, where he was hoping he'd be. So, but again, it's a long time before we kick the ball off. So I wouldn't jump to any conclusions right now, but we'll see how it goes over the next three, four, five, 6 months, whatever that is, before we get to the season.
Could he like potentially need like another procedure or 30?
I don't know that.
I don't know.
That's not been something that we've really discussed.
All right, so at the end there, do you need another procedure or not? That asked, again, this is March 27th, February 29th. And Brian, I'll get to you in a quick second. Is what he had to say.
Yeah, look, I think Ryan's getting better. He's obviously, he's got a knee that he and we are going to have to manage. But we feel much better about where he's at today than where he was maybe, a month and a half ago.
So that was a month ago they helped that. And, again, he's being honest, saying it's not coming along the way it is. And I just, whether it's this year or next year, right? I mean, I just think it's prudent. Brian, as we welcome you into the conversation, I mean, you have to think of the right tackle of the future. I don't know how else to look at it. Brian, thank you for calling us. How are you?
Hi, Gord Z-Cat. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Yes, I called you a couple weeks. I called you a couple days ago. I was calling to talk about the Pelicans loss, and
sure,
it just seems to frustrate me the lineup. The last three games where we lost the second quarter by double digits, and it's a pattern. I'm seeing it, and I don't know if it's that you don't have enough shooting out there, and when you say you're not getting by on the ball, it's like three guys are surrounding him, not respecting the other guys to shoot it. They're willing to live with Najee Marshall shooting the ball. They're willing to live with Larry Nance shooting the ball. And it just involves me that you don't have enough shooting out there to kind of just, take the pressure off. And when I saw the lineup, in the final quarter, in the fourth quarter, in the first, 5 minutes, and your starting lineup was C.J. McCollum, Larry Nance, Jose, Najee Marshall, Herb Jones, and only one person is really expected to score, and that's just, I don't know. I don't understand why not having guys that can score out there, like a guy like Jonas Valanciunas. I don't understand.
I wish I could give you an answer. I mean, I can just play what Coach says.
Yeah, Coach said he wanted to have speed. And they were trying to run with that team. That's why I didn't play Jonas.
How many games have the Pels lost where you're like, man, Jonas killed us defensively? I'm being legit. Like, I'm not trying to create a narrative. I don't ever recall going, boy, Pels would have won if Jonas could have played a lick of defense. I don't. What I do know is the guy's a double-double machine. And here's the other aspect of it, too. And look, let's just not say this for other than what it is, too. Zion had a great stat line of 29 points and 10 assists and 3 steals, and you see that. So they have the 5 turnovers, but we need some rebounds, man. The Oklahoma City Thunder, I'm watching a video right now during the break, Brian, and Brian Windhorst says one of the flaws for OKC is they can't rebound. They out-rebounded the Pelicans last night. And that's, you have a guy that had 6 rebounds in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So he couldn't have been that ineffective. Go ahead, man. I'll say.
I was just saying, when he is the focal point of the offense runs better, it seems like to me. In the last two games, against Miami, against Detroit, the offense runs better when he gets the ball in the hole. I know that Holman make could be a problem, but pound him. Get in the lane, and it creates more offense. Teams have to force the kind of double team. I don't understand this. Not giving him not even 5 minutes in the fourth quarter just to see how it goes.
And that was the thing, too, especially one of the things I saw online, too, Brian, is the lineup, too, when Larry came out and sat down. I'm sorry, and not only that, but there was no Zion.
Right, JR.
Why wouldn't you put in somebody like that for 4 or 5 minutes in the fourth quarter? He didn't see any minutes in the second half.
It's one of the things Gus has been saying about Coach all year is that they go into the game with a plan, and if the plan isn't
right,
deviate from the plan. Yeah. And sometimes you have to coach the game in front of you, and if you're not willing to kind of alter what it is that you're doing based on the outcomes of the game, then it puts us in a precarious situation.
I'm not trying to be, hey, they lost, so it's Willie's fault in the game.
Yeah, it's just something
fault.
That's noticeable.
I'm just saying, though, at some point in time, it's no longer, it's a pattern. And at some point in time, that pattern begins to turn into, okay, well, why is it not corrected at this point? I mean, the final 3 minutes of the game yesterday, and look, you keep looking at the telling signs. This team does not play well when they trail behind certain parts of the game, whether it's the halftime or going into the fourth quarter. Like, there's a reason. Yeah. So that reason is lack of execution, lack of doing what things they need to do. So one way, shape, or form, Brian, I was talking to Josh about this during the break. Does Willie need to be more than either forceful or more in a leadership role in those moments to legitimately do what I see other coaches perhaps do, in that they call a timeout and call that set play, be forceful. When that ball gets inbounded, not leave it up to CJ and Zion to throw the ball and swing it. Literally hold a hand up, clap, and yell. He could be doing that. I don't know. I'm not on the court. But I'm almost wondering, when you're looking at it, what, you're 0-19, you're 0-21, you're 0 whatever it is, and you're going, okay, three possessions. After the third non-scoring possession, next time up the court, Brian, I'm clapping my hand, I'm holding a finger up, I'm calling a play, I'm calling a set, or I'm calling a timeout. They didn't call a timeout in a final 3 minutes.
Until we were losing.
I just, like, these are things that I'm wondering. If that's something that then, okay, if the players aren't doing it, I hear Zion say we became stagnant. I hear CJ say we didn't pass the ball. Well, if they're not doing it, and it's March 26, and they're still not doing it, well, then I'm going to either call a timeout, I'm going to tell you who to pass it to, or I'm going to tell you what play to run, come heck or high water.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm thinking either Willie needs to do or should be suggested to do if that's the case. Because it's March 26, and you're still hearing the same thing. No ball movement. Standing around. Well, then who? I mean, at some point, who's the leader? Who's the leader?
I just can't understand why they let them go on a 7-0 run before you call a timeout. You know, they hit that two. We're up by three. If you don't take a timeout there, especially after they hit that three to tie the game, there should have been a timeout going down. Instead, they allowed them to take one more three. Then they're up 115, 112, and then we're taking a timeout and we're trying to recover with a minute left in the game. So, like you're saying, take a timeout, set a set play, get Zion the ball. He didn't shoot for the last 3 minutes. He has to be able to notice that that has, you know, that is something we have to do.
I think my opinion is that I don't think the center position is that much of a concern. The concern is that who is the floor general calling it? I think we need a floor general on this team, a point guard that can call, because it seems like when teams are on this run, we seem stagnant. We don't know what we're doing. And that's like, right. Like it was the same. It just seems like this team needs more of a point guard than a center position, I think, in my opinion.
Preaching to the choir, my friend.
Right. And one more thing, I don't understand why Jordan Hawkins comes in for 3 minutes, makes one of 3-pointer, and then
I'm bleeding the fifth, because if not, I'm going to lose my mind on
that.
That's
last game, yeah.
I cannot understand why a guy is a first-round draft pick and he can't help you. That's...
I don't know. He can't be that bad for defensive player either.
Again, I don't... Is his 12 minutes of defense going to lose you a basketball game?
Bro.
As opposed to in those 12 minutes, he can maybe get you two or three threes that can
help score you 9
game.
Points for sure. I mean,
by the way, he can rebound, and he does handle the basketball.
He's not,
and he won a national championship.
He's not just standing out there.
So I don't, you know, maybe he'll know what to do. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just.
Oh, I mean, when they're doubling Zion and then all we have is Larry Nance and Najee in the corner, like he was saying. It's like, wouldn't it be nice if Jordan Hawkins was in the corner instead?
All right. Thank you, Brian, for the phone call. Appreciate it, sir. Ralph Marlborough joins us next. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Thank you, man.
All right, bud.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
All right, 119, 112, the final. What went wrong? I'd love to hear from you Pels fans here as well. The Pels get down by as many as 20. Dr. Josh Rolette over to my right here. Huge Pels fan as well. You got your season tickets. You're watching. We're texting. We're doing all this stuff. We're looking at it. And then finally, it's almost like it occurred to them, or it just started to happen. Things flipped. And Zion decided to say, you know what? We'll show what's going on here.
All right. Hayward into the lane. Throws it up off the bottom of the backboard. Wanted a call. Didn't get it.
Five straight empty possessions. Zion head of steam, avoids contact, and scoops it in with a left hand.
That was unbelievable.
So you hear at the very beginning of that highlight, five straight empty possessions, the defense right. needs it. Because that's what the Pels players and coaches said yesterday. It's easy to focus on the final 3 minutes, not scoring. That is a focus.
Sure.
There's a reason for that. But they also didn't get the stops. They didn't get the rebounds. Then it continued.
Jose, get it to Z. Drives in the paint. Lays it in with a left hand. He caught it on the right elbow and got to the rim in a second.
By all means, Zion Williamson, keep doing you.
And he continued.
Can you get a stop? We haven't had a lead since the early 30s. SGA, that's blocked. That's blocked. Taken by Naji. You can tie it up with a two. Zion in. Lays it in. Lays it in over door. That should have been an N1. The ball rolls all the way to midcourt. We have tied this game up at 99.
The Smoothie King Center is going crazy right now. Everybody is on their feet.
And Larry Nance, I was like, why is he hitting on Jonas?
107-105. OKC. Trey. Drive center of the lane. Leave it for Nance. Pumps it in with a right hand, Larry Nance Jr.
There you go, Larry.
And, of course, the play that I thought that was it. This was going to somehow propel the Pels to a comeback win.
Now Nance left of the lane. Back and down. Get it to Herb. Out long Trey. Deep straightaway three. Yeah!
Woo! Deep from Trey Murphy.
Nothing but net from 28 feet. Timeout OKC.
I felt good that time.
I felt really good.
Because I was listening to Graf. I was listening to the game because I couldn't watch it. But, I felt good. And it's just crazy to allow them a 12-0 run at the end of that game. And like you were telling me, you know, not get Zion the ball. I think his last shot you said was about 3:46 or something like that. And really not being able to run our offense at the end of that game, it really, really hurt. Not getting a couple rebounds, I think, is what Graf was saying. There's one or two rebounds in there where they got to put back, and if we would have got that, probably could have ran some time down and had the win. So it's just frustrating. You know, what I think is good, though, it shows you that this team has fight. It also shows you that Zion, and I think this is over the past month, is really showing us that he can be that guy who can put us on his shoulders for a little while and be as dominant as we'd hope he'd be.
So here's what he said about what you just said, essentially. These late games, these situations and these things going on there. And it's kind of what I was telling, talking to Antonio Daniels earlier today when we were recording the Pelicans podcast. I said, you can't coach that. Some players love the moment. Some players don't. Look, and Jaden Daniels is having a solid pro day, and he's a guy that's going to go in the top, you know, three or four or five.
He's good.
One of the things that I've said that translates to the next level is that calmness. I saw Christian Clark and a couple of others post today. They went back and looked at the fourth quarter, what happened. And one of the things I think Christian tweeted was the calmness of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in those big moments. The calmness.
Right.
There was a play where the ball was in the right corner. Zion grabs it, kicks it out, and he's pointing and all that. It's the calmness to have it. We've seen him at times sort of take over. He needs to be more forceful. You know, at the same time, look, and again, I don't want to be that guy that when they lose, it's the coach's fault and all that. When they win, it's the, I hear you. But that's what experienced staffs, that's what experienced players excel in those moments like that of having been there and be there before. CJ's been in the postseason, but that's it. Nobody else sort of has.
Right.
It's hard, though, because I look at OKC, I'm like, they're younger than you. Like, Chet Holmgren's in his rookie season. You know, Josh Giddey, I mean, what is he, a playoff experienced player? No, it's Shai. And knowing where to go with the ball, and so that team knows what they want to do.
He knows how to get
at
to the
those
line,
points
too.
Of the game. And I know Aaron brought up a stat that, you know, the Thunder have just been in 10 to 15 more games, clutch games, than the Pels. I think you brought this up the last time we chatted.
Yeah.
They're either winning by double digits
or they're losing by double digits. New Orleans. They're just not in close
games.
The
league in like big wins or something
which
like that.
Which is crazy, I guess, when you look about it. But listen to what he has.
This is what being competitive is all about. I mean, I've always said it. Like, these games are fun to play. We didn't get the result we wanted tonight, but games like this, this is... When I watch playoff basketball, this is what games look like. Just down to the wire, teams make runs, and, you know, whoever stays the most disciplined gets the win. So I'm excited for this stretch. Like I said, after Detroit's game, it's got to take it game by game.
But look, you can't coach that. You want to have players that kind of want to do that and get excited to be in those moments and do that. And I guess that's where I start with in moving forward into the positive of this. Look, there are some four or five things that don't sit well with me yesterday that stink because these are problems that you've had. Ball being stagnant, ball not moving, not lack of rebounding. I keep hearing coach say sense of urgency. I mean, these are things you should know. I mean, it's March 27th.
I stand by my assertion about the point guard. I know you were kind of saying it doesn't
100%.
Matter.
100%. No, I'm 100% on board.
What happens is at the end of the game, they're doing a half-court defense, and they're really grinding to make sure they stop you. And our team, if we don't have someone on the court that can hold and distribute the ball outside of Zion, it makes it very tough. And that's why we get stagnant and we don't get the shots that we want to get. And during the game, when you're moving, you're in a transition offense, Zion can take the ball and do that, and he can have his turnovers, and it doesn't affect us as much. But when he doesn't have that freedom to move around, and they're double-teaming him at the end of the game, we just don't have it. I think that's why the ball doesn't move.
Here's Coach.
Just holding the ball instead of just swinging it to the next guy. And that's the key for us. If we hold the ball, they're good defense. It allows those guys to load up on us and get their hands on us. But when we play fast and we play .5, whether that's swing it, drive it, or shoot it, it's harder for them to get their defense set, and we started to hold the ball a bit more.
That's exactly what I said.
Here's the thing. Maybe it's just me. I mean, couldn't you just be on the sideline? Pass it! Swing the ball!
Swing it. Move it.
Is it literally that easy? I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, after 2-3, hey, pass! I mean, move. I'm yelling right in the studio, pass the ball. Is no one else on
I think they also probably don't want to make mistakes at that point. You know, they know the trend. They know what it is that we've been doing and how we've been playing and that our record isn't great at the end of the game. And I don't think they actively are thinking about it, but I think subconsciously there is something there where the players just don't want to mess up and cost us, and they end up doing it anyway because they're not, you know, following through with what he's saying, passing the ball or moving. Don't be stagnant. Keep up the flow.
Here's Zion.
My offense kind of became stagnant. It was more ball watching on the offensive side.
But why?
Because even when Trey hit the three, it was a lot of ball movement that allowed him to get that open three, and we were just real stagnant.
Okay, again, can something be something that agitates you at the same time as a positive? Because that's how I view this, right? This is right. How I view this. This is different than, man, they just don't have the scoring. Man, they just don't have the talent. They got it.
They got it.
They
got
to learn how to use it. And this is kind of one of those things. You got kids. I got kids. This is literally one of those things where I look at Carver. I'm like, Carver, one's a plus, one's a minus, one's addition, one's subtraction.
Right.
Why are we confusing this? We're 3 months in. You know, it's like, what do I tell them? It's like, you have to focus. Pay attention. Look at the sign. Now and I guess what I'm trying to get at is, this part of me that I feel better in this, that I listen on games like this afterwards, and the coach is telling you, and the players they're telling you what went wrong. They know what went wrong. They will diagram and tell you the things that went wrong. We didn't get the rebound. We didn't play with the urgency to start the game. Right. We didn't pass the ball. So you at least know the issues.
I wonder if they're in the coach's room going through like, okay, well, we can do this differently.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I know it's very easy to say, really, what are you doing? There's no way he's not saying these things.
Right.
And I guess that's the reason why you go one more to the bartender, because you're sitting there, why don't they do it?
Here we go again.
Hour number one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters.
We're live at Upper Cervical Family Chiropractor with Dr. Josh Roulette. Don't go anywhere. Hour 2 next on ESPN New Orleans. Joins us some Saints Happy Hour podcast. Sir, how are you?
I'm good, guess. Are we freaking out about the Saints at offensive tackle today?
Well, thankfully, because of the way the Pels couldn't pull it out last night, we've been kind of focusing on that a little bit. But, yes, yesterday was panic mode. Let's just start with that. What do you make of Coach coming out yesterday and being very honest, being very open, and saying, hey, Ron Ramczyk's not recovering the way we would have liked?
All right, well, on one hand, I appreciate the honesty.
You wanted Saints news.
I wanted Saints news. I appreciate the honesty because I have an 8-year-old child, and I'm trying to say, you got to be honest. You got to tell the truth. So that, I get it. But on the other hand, I'm like, Dave, what are you doing, bro? Like, why? Why are you giving us this information? What is the benefit to anyone to have this information? Now, everyone in the world is like, Trevor Penning is a bust, and Ryan Ramczyk may or may not play, may need to retire. Well, everyone in the world knows you're picking a tackle at 14. Right. Heck, you might need to trade up to make sure you get one of the top three. Where I just feel like if this was Sean Payton, he'd have been like, yeah, Ryan Ramczyk, he had the surgery. We'll see how it goes. He's progressing nicely. Like it doesn't benefit anyone for that information to come out yesterday. So that was sort of like, what are you doing, man? But, I mean, it's true, and but in a sense, we all kind of knew it, right? I mean, the Saints' offensive tackle, Gus, I can't remember when it's been this bad. Because if you think about just the right tackle for the Saints, they went from to Zach Street to Ramczyk, and it was seamless transition, right? Stinchco retired, boom, they plugged in Zach Street. Zach Street got hurt against Minnesota the first game in 2017. Boom, they plugged in Ramczyk. Like, it's been seamless for going on dang near 20 years.
Yeah, do you feel like the Saints are going to bring back Andres Pete, or what are we looking at in that area with the money that we're going to spend?
Okay, guys, this is where we officially have reached the saddest point of the offseason, when we're thirsty to bring back Andres Pete. You know,
Pro Bowler.
We're in the bad place, kids. When we're like, they got to bring back Pete. We need to get Andres Pete back up in here to help save this offensive line. Nothing against Andres Pete, but he's like replacement level tackle, and I agree. Like, they totally need to bring him back. And Gus, the fun with bringing Andres Pete back is they'll pay him his actual salary this year. And he'll count dead cap.
Awesome.
So it'll be like the double count.
That's
when they
awesome.
Brought Jarrell Everett back. Remember that in 2016? I think it was, or 2015. When they had the double cap, they had his dead money and the salary they paid him. So that could be fun.
I mean, I'm thinking about this team and some of the faults that we had last year and how Derek Carr fared getting the ball out of his hand. And I think he ranked somewhere in the middle, about 16, 17, something like that, in the time it took him to throw the ball. And how important does this O-line really mean to him having that time, especially seeing it's a new offensive coordinator and trying to develop some kind of chemistry with the wide receivers going into the season?
Well, I think it's critical because the thing is with Derek Carr is he almost at times to me with the Saints this in his career, he did it sometimes, but with the Saints especially last year, and I get it because he got the kicked out of him and he was hurt most of the year. He almost seemed to me to be playing too fast, right? He was like, I know this line's terrible. I'm getting this ball out. I don't care if the guy down the field's open. This ball's coming out in 2 seconds because I know if it doesn't come out in 2 seconds, I'm going to get broken in half. And, like, Drew Brees was – the thing that made Drew Brees great is he could play at that high speed and, like, I got to get the ball out in 2 seconds and always make the right decision, right? Derek Carr, he seems kind of like he almost plays too fast at times, but I don't blame him. And to your point, like, they better fix this offensive line. It's not just pass protection. Remember, their run game was atrocious. We kind of forget it the last month of the year because they played the Giants, they played Atlanta, they didn't Tampa, right? It was kind of not terrible. But for the first 3 months of the year, it was as bad as any team in the league when Taysom wasn't carrying the ball. So, like, their offensive line issues, they need a – I think they need guard tackle. Like, they're almost – I think, guys, if they went tackle at 14 and 45 or tackle guard, like, it would freak people out. But I wouldn't necessarily blame them if they did that.
Now, you just brought up the guy I like to talk about the most, so I'm gonna ask my question about him, and that's Taysom Hill. We're paying him, what, $8 to $10 million, something like that, for a guy who, for some unknown reason, is playing on special teams. Is there a way you see him out of that role and more into just a straight offensive role with this new offensive coordinator?
It's so hard. It's so hard because here's the thing with Taysom that I think Pete Carmichael – he got a lot of crap for it, but I think he actually did a pretty good job. Managing Taysom's touches the last 2 years has, I think, allowed him to thrive. And the thing is, he's not young. I think he's 34 now, right?
Yeah.
And he had a history in college of getting hurt. He's gotten banged up with the Saints, although he's mostly been healthy. It's such a hard thing, right? Because you're like, put him at tight end. Give him the ball more at running back. Don't play him on special teams. Like, I just wonder, like, is managing his snaps as he gets older to get, like, maybe one more good year out of him, is it critical? And I'll tell you another thing. With the new special teams rules,
yeah,
I'm kind of really intrigued to put Taysom back there.
As a returner.
As a returner.
Yeah.
As
a returner. Point.
Because here's the thing. Like, that new block. Play... as a degenerate who gambled on the XFL probably way too much, like, I watched a lot of it. Like, you could do really cool things with that new kickoff rule. Like, because the thing is, the blocking, it isn't about, like, smashing dudes. It's more like NBA, kind of like screens, and you just get your body in front of them. Man, I mean, you do Taysom and Rasheed, you do a little reverse. I think Rizzy could cook up some really fun stuff. So I'm going the opposite way. I don't want no. We don't need to get Taysom off special teams. We need to get Taysom in the special teams. And I'm curious to see what Kubiak does with him. Right? Like, can he create with him? But again, Taysom.
Well, that's a much different role. I mean, if he's returning the ball, it's different than him just blocking and
right.
Yeah.
Well, here's another thing, Ralph.
Thing is, though, you got to remember too. With the,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, the one thing with him on the punt team is teams have to respect Taysom so much on the punt. I think it gives him a little bit of benefit maybe with teams not being so crazy for punt blocks and stuff. Because as the protector, Taysom could break something off at any moment, especially in that 35 yard line between the 35s on punt. So that's the only thing there.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you is, you got a little spare change when it comes to the cap, when it comes to it. About 10 and some change, almost 11, whatever. You need, what, 5 or 6 to sign your draft picks?
Essentially.
Well, there you go. You could still find some more, right? Like Kamara and other guys could restructure, yes, things of that nature. Do you think they go out and try to address the offensive line with some veteran help there as well?
I mean, maybe. The thing is, though, guys, I was looking through the offensive line list. It's kind of sad. It's like Becton from the Jets. Remember him, the giant offensive tackle from Louisville, who's been hurt his whole career and kind of a bust. Like, there's not much out there to get. The one thing I was thinking about today with the cap space. Remember in 2006, the Saints, it was Katrina, free agents really didn't want to come here. The big free agent acquisition was Drew, obviously, but the other guys was like Scott Fujita, Michael Bennett, who they ended up trading because they got Reggie Bush, and they kind of did that. But if you remember during the draft, they traded, got Jeff Fain at center. They traded and got Hollis Thomas. I wonder if during the draft, because that's when teams will make a move, because the team may have a guy on offensive lineman, but then they draft the guy and they're like, okay, we've got this young guy, we want to move him out. I wonder if draft day, the Saints might go to add a veteran at defensive tackle, add a veteran backup tackle that it seems like now we can get rid of him because we drafted our tackle. I wonder if they're going to spend that cap money in a different way. And also, too, guys, remember 2 years ago, they missed out on the safety they wanted in the draft.
Yeah.
Monday after the draft ended, what did they do? They signed Honey Badger. So that's a thing where I just, to wrap it up, I just don't see them letting that $10 million of cap space, even after you factor in the draft picks and it's $6, $7, $8 million, whatever it is, I can't see Mickey Loomis being like, nah, we're going to let that roll over. That's just not, it's not how the Saints operate. They're going to spend that money some kind of way, either before the draft, during the draft, or after. I'll be stunned if when we get to the regular season, the Saints aren't really tight up against that cap.
What is the best worst case at 14 that you think? What's the worst thing they could do there?
Worst thing is take a kicker.
I mean, no. I mean, are they going to stretch for a wide receiver, maybe, or?
Well, I think I was thinking not like best case, worst case of what I like, because we don't know about these players, right? They could pick up, as long as they get a good player, it works out. I was thinking like best case, worst case. I think like worst case is like Jim Harbaugh goes offensive line, Tennessee goes offensive line, the Jets go offensive line, and then you're sitting there at 14 and you're like,
Bowers.
Missed out on all three of the linemen. What do we do? Do we take Burst? Do we take Bowers? Do we trade, God forbid, do we trade back and then get a second-tier offensive lineman and still get a top pass rusher? I think that's kind of the worst-case scenario. The best-case scenario for the Saints is Atlanta takes a corner instead of an edge. Both, you know, you get three receivers, you get four or five quarterbacks, and you're sitting there at 14 maybe, and then it's like, oh, we have to choose between
We lost you.
Where'd he go? Hello, Ralph.
I'm guessing we have to choose between the best offensive lineman, defensive edge, and maybe a wide receiver. Yeah,
I guess that's what it is. We have to choose between them.
And San Diego went for Shanu from Penn State. Like, it's not likely, but it's. I think it's very possible that we're like there at 14, and they're like, we're like guy at Walmart in Christmas Eve, Black Friday. We're looking for a TV, and the aisle is empty.
Yeah.
Could be. See what takes place. Ralph Mulber, as always, man. Appreciate it. Saints Happy Hour podcast.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. More of your phone calls. Open segment coming up at 1:45. Jeff Boggs, ESPN Bet. What he has to say. Dr. Josh Rillette to my right. We'll touch on some other aspects here as well. As we're off and running.
Yeah, man.
In hour two, which is brought to you by Chris's Paving on ESPN New Orleans. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation via the Ruderman Can hotline. 800-998-1003. We'll be down the street from where we are. We're on West Harrison. We got to cross the stoplight over here on West End Boulevard. And then it becomes Harrison, not East Harrison, just regular Harrison. And about 2.5-3 blocks over to the left will be Francesca by Katie's Deli and Pizzeria and Catering. I'm still working on getting that apostrophe added over to Katie's. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean to Francesca. You know what I mean?
Tomorrow you're going to Francesca's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Katie would notice if I, like, got on a ladder and just grabbed, like, a, you know, little spray paint can and put an apostrophe?
Do they not have one?
No, it's Francesca.
Is it really?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
No, huh?
It has been my fight for 2 years, really, honestly. Because you know New Orleans, we like to add S's to stuff, right? Except, like,
I was from Justice.
I mean, but yours is Lakeview Massage and Therapy. It's not like, oh, well, is it therapies? Do people say that, therapies? You see S's?
No, it's therapy.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. But you know what I'm saying. Like, when I think of a restaurant, you know.
Right. Just natural to say it that way, I think. And I always said Francesca's.
Always, right? Just it kind of seems like. But we kind of tend to put.
I never thought about that.
Well, I likened it to this. The Saints used to have a quarterback, the backup. Do you know who that was? That we used to always put an S to, and it does not have an S. Behind Drew Brees.
Behind Drew Brees?
Made a lot of money as a backup.
Oh, wow.
Successful career as a backup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chase Daniels.
It's Chase Daniel.
Yeah, Chase Daniel.
Exactly. You just did it. You put an S. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. French Quarters. Lots of people like to put French Quarters. Yeah. There's an S on there. I hear that a lot. I've never really. I always French Quarter.
French Quarter, yeah.
Yeah. But
I think that's normal.
Right.
But restaurants, for sure. I can't believe it.
I just like doing it to give them grief. That's what happens for being a Cardinal fan.
Yeah, for real.
You know, for
real. I might go to that Cardinals game this week, this year for, against the Braves.
Yeah, I you know, we thought about it. Vasilios was back over in the D.C. area, so the Nationals, Orioles.
I've been to the Nationals Stadium.
We do that here as well, so we'll see. All right, so we've touched on a handful of topics here as well, whether it's the Saints and stuff, but I did want to play this because you did ask about Taysom Hill. Did you hear what Dennis Allen had to say yesterday about Taysom Hill? The reporter asked, is he going to Denver?
No, that conversation has not been broached. I feel like Sean's trying to get everybody else from the Saints to go to Denver with him, so... Yeah, we'll see.
There you go. I am interested in how you use Taysom Hill in this offense. I think the way to use Deebo Samuel, I think, as Ralph said, it's a very good point. You now have not one but two people that can feel the kickback. Why not?
That's interesting. I think he's one of our best players.
Well,
I want him to touch the ball and have chances and opportunities, and we need to have motion in offense. And if we don't have motion with this new offense coordinator, I mean, I'm going to be very
disappointed. Well, Josh. If he catches it at the 15-yard line to 10-yard line,
well, he can throw the
ball. All of the blocking is going to be at the 30. It's about a 10-15-yard thing. He gets a 10-15-yard head start. He just has to get by one or two players. He could take it to the house.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just being honest with you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be a huge thing for us. And that's just what my question was to him, is like, what can we do differently? You know, Taysom would go last year and he'd have a game where he touched the ball 9 times and has 100-something yards, and all of a sudden he has a game where he does touch the ball 0 times. So, you know, a little more consistency in where he's playing, move him all over the offensive field, put him in motion, have him and Kamara back there, put Kamara as a slot, and put Taysom in the back. I mean, and move things around. You can do different trick plays. There's so many things you can do. I just hope we see a little more creativity than we have in the past.
Yeah, no doubt. Looking forward to seeing different aspects of that here as well. So we'll see if they do get a chance to return those kicks. I just keep looking at it, and again, I don't mind in feeling that it's a 1 to 2 year replenishing, if you don't want to use the word rebuild. I mean, Ross Jackson going with the soft rebuild. I mean, but you do. I mean,
it feels that way, though.
Well, look, you need talent. And look, I like DeMario Davis.
Yeah.
I like P. Werner.
Yeah, me too.
It's a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
I need someone that sells jerseys in that back end.
We need sacks. That's what we need.
Right? I mean, I need somebody that sells jerseys. I need playmakers, difference makers, people that can run. You need speed. You need athleticism on that back end.
Absolutely.
I thought it was interesting when Coach talked about Willie Gay Jr. yesterday. The way he spoke about it specifically in terms of...
Is he outside linebacker?
What his role is. Well, I kind of will...
Well,
listen.
Well, look, I think he's a guy that's going to be competing to be a starter on our defense. I think that, you know, with bringing him on board, you know, you have Willie, you have DeMario, you have Pete Werner. Those are three guys that I know, you know, have played a lot of football in our league and played at a high level in our league. And I think that gives us a little bit more depth, and it gives us some more options and things that we can do.
Josh, thank you for giving us a call here in the Sports Hangover on the Rude Man Can Hotline. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, man.
Ralph is one of my favorite guests. He's, like, on the pulse of the team, but he's also, like, kind of just very, like, negative about it sometimes, and I love that. Awesome. yeah, I just wanted to call. I don't really know that much about basketball, but I think Willie Green's probably one of the worst coaches in the league. I think it's obvious, you know what I mean? I just don't know how you let your best player just not touch the ball the last 4 minutes of the game. But other than that, I love the NFL talk, man. This is exciting because I think this draft's going to be wild, and I think the Saints are going to totally mess it up. And I'm being serious, guys. Guys, we're going to take, like, we're talking about
worst-case scenario. They have a history, so.
What, say that again?
We're talking about worst-case scenario. We're going to draft,
worst-case scenario.
The third-ranked safety from Wichita State. That's what we're going to do. Like that's the same. That's the MO of, like, what we do. We're going to find a guy that, like, nobody knows about. And actually, you know what's funny? I was talking to a friend of yours, Gus Cattingell, Jim Derry. Jim Derry's a good friend of mine. And he was telling me, you know, the people that he knows, you know, the Saints drafted Penning in the first round, and like the rumors that Jim was hearing is like basically no other team in the NFL had Penning at a first round grade. Like most of them had like late second round. So like that's what we do. So yep. I'm just excited to see what it is. We're gonna make a mistake, or we're gonna draft a tackle that's like injury prone or something like that. But I also just want to point out, you know, all these Saints fans are talking about, oh, we're, you know, we got our cap money back, and you know the cap went up. I'm gonna point out the New York Jets, who are not a good franchise, but they're basically we're in the same spot we are in cap. But if you look at what they were able to do, because when you have cap room, you don't have to rely on draft picks to fill in and become immediate starters. Foskey, thank you very much. What they did is they went and signed one of the greatest tackles of all time in Tyron Smith. They drafted another top 10 PFF-rated tackle in Moses. And then they drafted they signed two defensive tackles. They signed Morstead to a five-year deal. And now, at the 10th pick, they're very malleable in their decisions and what they can do. They can go anywhere they want. They're not relying on a draft pick to, like, be a top 10 player at their position, because this is what happens when you kick the can down the road. I just want to point that out. I really hope Bowers falls to us and we just have to take him. But, you know, I love the show, Gus. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So, I think one of the things, Josh, as Josh, just
yeah,
bring,
Josh
it's a good, it's a good name.
Yeah.
It's a good name there. Very popular name. I keep seeing, and I think it was Ross and I, we talked about it, if not a couple of other people that cover the team, was talking about it. We want to say we, Saints fans.
Yeah.
2017 is my best hope.
That's everyone's best
hope. Now, 2017, going into that draft, I remember coming out saying, you have got to find guys that start. Now, I've talked to people that have been on, you know, covered this team, and look, just need good play. No. They need to start. I mean, if
you need to fill holes.
Here's what DA had to say on Willie Gay's role here. He essentially said this.
Well, look, I think he's a guy that's going to be competing to be a starter on our defense.
Stop right there.
But this goes to what I was saying.
But that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Okay? He brought in somebody in free agency, and he said, I need him to compete to be a starter. And that immediately raised, you know, eyebrows. You're like, well, wait a minute. You only basically used two linebackers, yeah, and Pete Werner and DeMario Davis. But that's what I feel that I need and I need to see, right? You cannot draft someone you're hoping develops. Like,
you can't.
Fua, right? Or
the first two rounds.
The guy from Oregon State. He hasn't given up a sack in 2002 or 2023. Something tells me that will translate to being a starter in the NFL.
Yeah.
Or at least competing. Like, that needs to happen. Does it make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not in a position as a team to draft someone who we want to work on and make them into something.
No.
Draft someone who's in a position we need, who's ready to get in and start right now.
Lattimore, Kamara, Marcus Williams. The first three picks you drafted starters.
Ramchek.
Starters. Yeah. Ramchek. Starters.
Starters.
They were starters.
And Pro Bowl in this league.
Starters.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hey, welcome back. Got a little excited there for a quick second. The Saints just posted a video of Jayden Daniels throwing deep to Malik Nabers. And just for that 1 second, can you imagine what it would be like to see the Saints tweeting that on a Saints game day? You know,
yeah.
Jayden Daniels to Malik Nabers.
That would be amazing.
For your New Orleans Saints. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE. Brian, who's likely out high out west, is on hold on the on-deck circle. Jeff, sir, how are you today?
Real good, thanks. Tell something earlier, too. Malik Nabers targeted number 6 pick maybe to the Giants. Seems he had a nice dinner last night with Mr. Mara.
Nothing wrong with that. It'd be nice to do that 42-inch vertical jump. It's got some speed. You get some weapons for whoever it is that they go. Although there's still some people, I believe J.J. McCarthy and others going up there. You know what? We'll get to that in a quick second. Tough loss for the Pels. So now today, since they don't play, we get to go scoreboard watching. Let's start with the game that the Phoenix Suns are playing in here, Jeff, as the Suns are taking on the Denver Nuggets in Denver.
Absolutely, and you know Denver is looking to maintain their position at the top of the standings. Nuggets 51-21, they've won four straight, including a 128-103 win Monday night against the Grizzlies. The Suns 42-30 fell in San Antonio, really disappointing loss, 104-102. Teams have split their two matchups this season, each winning one on the road. The Suns 117-107 last time about 3 weeks ago. The Nuggets are 7.5-point favorites. The over-under, 227.5. Nuggets, money line, minus 280. Suns, plus 230. Couple things you may want to know. Again, Phoenix's loss on Monday, which, again, was to a poor Spurs team. They're playing without Victor Wembanyama as well. It was crushing to the Suns. I'm looking for them to rebound on that. But, again, you need to know a few things about the Denver Nuggets. Star guard Jamal Murray, he has missed the last two games. Questionable to return tonight against the Suns. Denver's point guard averaging 20.9 points per game, 6.7 assists, forms a real lethal duo with Jokic and, a little something in my throat there. What should be a high-scoring game against the Suns, Murray should thrive as he did in last year's playoff series. Aaron Gordon, he is listed as questionable tonight with that nagging foot issue he has had. So again, Nuggets -7.5, kind of like the Suns covering that tonight.
All right, let's take a look at the next game we will be scoreboard watching, and that is the Clippers at the 76ers. Can Philly come through?
Yeah, absolutely. Clippers now a half-game advantage with the Pels' loss last night. Again, this game's in Philadelphia. Tip-off, I think, just after 6 o'clock. Philadelphia 39-33, 21-15 at home. L.A. 44-27, 22-14 on the road. They've been a pretty solid road team. But the Sixers, they've fallen to 8th in the Eastern Conference standings. Clippers 4th in the West, but only have that 2.5-game cushion above the play-in cutoff line. Philly's won and covered the last four head-to-head matchups, including 121-107 win as a 9-point road underdog on Sunday. Again, the money's been moving to the Clippers, now 76ers favored by, Sixers are getting 6.5, over-under 215.5, money line 76ers plus 200, Clippers minus 240. But again, that money has been moving toward the Clippers. 76ers came up short against the Kings Monday, 108-96. But Tyrese Maxey had a nice night, 26 points in the first half. Only took three shots, though, in the second half. Finished with 29 to lead the team. De'Anthony Melton, he is probably out tonight. He's got back issues. Kelly Oubre Jr., questionable. He's battling a shoulder injury. And what you may want to know about the Clippers, they took that 133-116 bruising from the Pacers Monday night. Paul George scored 26, had a couple of steals in the loss. And the Clippers shot 54.1% from the floor as a team in that loss, but went just 6-for-20 from beyond the arc. Clippers have now lost 6 of their last 9 games, and certainly defensive issues have been at the heart of those struggles. Opponents are shooting 50.2% from the floor, 44.6 from beyond the arc in that same time frame. So again, 6.5-point favorite are the Clippers, but on the road, here's hoping the 76ers get the job done.
Without, would like to see Orlando get the job done here as well. They host the Warriors at 6 o'clock. What do you see in this one?
Well, again, Orlando 42-29 overall, 25-10 at home. Golden State 37-34 overall and 19-15 on the road. Warriors won the lone matchup this season between the teams. That was in San Francisco, 121-15. Magic, though, have the best against the spread record in the NBA this season, 47-24. Warriors 37-32-2 against the spread. Again, tonight, Magic favored by 5.5, and the money has been moving toward Orlando. 218.5, the over-under. Moneyline Magic minus 200, Warriors plus 170. And a couple of things you may want to know. Magic 11-2 against the spread in their last 13 games when the spread was between -7 and -4, which it is tonight. Magic 24-7 against the spread in their last 31 games when favored. And the Warriors 15-16-1 against the spread in their last 32 games, versus teams that win more than 55% of the games. And so, again, can Steph Curry step up? He's been in a bit of a slump. The money's saying no, Orlando.
All right. Jeff, how can I get involved on ESPN Bets?
Oh, you bet, especially as baseball season begins tomorrow. You want to download it today, new users. You get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Again, it's the official sportsbook of ESPN. It's the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and or shows. And again, you're going to find all your favorite markets, bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, all the props you can handle. And again, download it today. What a play. Remember, you got to be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And remember, it's in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. Check out the app for all the details. And Gus, you want to talk a little baseball tomorrow?
Yep, no doubt. Looking forward to it. Opening day for sure, including our Cubbies. Let's see what takes place, man. Thank you, bud.
You got it.
All right, 800-998-1003 on the Rudiman Can guest and hotline here as well. Or Brian, likely, a mile high out west, is on. What's up, Brian? How are you?
Oh, brother, but actually, I am in the great state of Florida, if you want to call it that. I mean, you know, a long time ago we learned as kids from Bugs Bunny that you're supposed to cut Florida off and just let it float by itself, but I'm here doing my part.
Well, do your other part, because that's where the owner... Wait a minute. The owner's meetings were there. Were you part of the owner's meetings?
I will not confirm nor deny where I was, Gus. I'll have you to stay out of my personal affairs.
That makes a little more sense now that I know that from that aspect of it, man. I don't know, man. Give me some takes. Give me some hot takes. Saints and Pels, what do you got?
Well, I mean, I was going to just mind my business, listen to the show like I normally do. And then I heard your last caller before the betting segment say something about the Saints and compare them to the Jets, and I damn near drove off the road because who in their right mind, I mean, maybe he's you know, maybe he got into my secret stash, but who in their right mind compares what the Saints do to what the Jets did and say, you know what, maybe that's a model we should follow. I'm sorry, I'm not following that train.
What do you make of the almost 40 minutes that Dennis Allen had to say yesterday, you know, from competing with Willie Gay Jr. to having the update on Ryan Ramczyk. Lattimore is still part of the team.
Yeah.
Scott looked at he would like a little more depth in the receiving room thing. I don't know. What do you make of all of that?
I've seen more excitement from a person watching paint dry. I mean, it's amazing to me that Dennis Allen has perfected the Derek Carr. I'm going to say a whole lot of words, but I'm not going to say anything at all. So you kind of got to read between the lines. What I haven't heard anybody say is that you guys are ridiculous. Marshawn Lattimore is a part of our team. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be around for a very long time. Haven't heard that from Mickey. Haven't heard that from Dennis. That lets me know Marshawn is still on the verge of being traded, and nothing's going to change that besides Marshawn. Marshawn, from what I understand, it's on his side of it that he doesn't want to be with the Saints anymore. And, of course, there will be no olive branches extended by Dennis Allen because that's just not how he rolls. So Marshawn is as good as gone. The only problem is finding a trade partner that's willing to give you something more than a third-round pick after this current draft because you're not going to get anything prior to. When it comes to the wide receiver room, I mean, at least Dennis Allen's not being like Sean Payton telling us I like the guys in the room because, I mean, basically there's only 2.5 guys. You've got Rashid Shaheed. You've got Olave. You may have, A.T. Perry. After that, you really don't know what you have. Cedric Wilson, kind of an afterthought, being that he played in the San Francisco offense, the Miami offense, so he kind of knows it, but it's not like anybody's betting on Cedric Wilson to go out there and get 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns. Not going to happen. So you still probably have to draft at least 2 more receivers to go in that room. Running back room, absolutely dismal right now because Alvin's going to be 30. Jamal Williams is God knows what. And Kendre Miller is still hurt from what I understand. So good luck with that as well. Did I get to the offensive line yet? No, I didn't. It's like a spades hand. You used to have 2 in a possible. Now you got 1 book, and you barely got that. You might as well throw your hand in and start all over again. The Saints need to sign 2 more guys, draft 2 more guys, pray to the football god that they have some sort of help. And this whole, you know, hem of his garment that Clint Kubiak is walking around with, can we stop that at some point? Just because you're around greatness doesn't make you great. Ask Bill Belichick's assistants about that. Oh, I'm sorry. I said that out loud. I'm supposed to be who that and high fiving and saying Clint Kubiak's going to fix it. Go,
yes.
Clint!
You didn't know that? Yeah, I thought I sent you the email.
Did I get to Willie Green yet? Did I get to Willie Green?
Oh, gosh.
No, you have not gotten to Willie Green yet.
Okay, well, let's do this real quick. Like, for all the kids that are out there who are saying, you know what? You guys suck. You Saints fans, now who are also Pelicans fans and Saints fans, but you Saints fans suck. Dennis Allen is not the coach Willie Green is. You know, that's like comparing. For some strange reason, that's like comparing a D student in a room full of F students. You ain't got much to go up. So by Willie Green being better than Dennis Allen, you're not really saying much at all. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the old Cat Williams joke. You ever heard of it before? Like, you ever see the Chrysler 300s when they first came out? And everybody in their grandmother would compare them to this Bentley Rolls Royce. For some reason, it was like, wow, it kind of looks like it. It's a poor man's version, but it looks like it. Bingo, you just found Willie Green. He's the poor man version of an elite coach because every time he goes up against an elite coach, he gets out-coached. Funny how that happens. Oh, you can beat up on the bad teams. You may be able to get past a mediocre team or two. But as soon as you go against somebody that has a little bit more skill, a little bit more acumen, a little bit more, I don't know what's it called, in-game adjustments, that's what it is. Whenever you go against a coach that has those, he gets out-coached by a mile. Willie Green, ladies and gentlemen. Your New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay, look, we'll have no talk of in-game adjustments on this show.
Yeah.
Got it?
You know what? You're right. No, forgive me for saying JV was out there balling and all of a sudden you left Larry out there and some dude that goes by DRE and he ain't Dr. Dre, or is it JRE and he really wants to be Drew Holiday and he forgot a letter? I mean, forgive me.
That's it.
I'm sorry. I thought Valvinus was falling out there.
That's it. It's all the time we have for you. You cannot remember. Oh. Next time you come on the show, high fives, back patting, and go Pels and Saints.
You
got
know
it?
What? I'm gonna make it to where you can't kick me off. I'm pulling up. I'm coming to the show.
You're more than welcome to. I got a headset. It's a Sports Hangover. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans. Take care.